Continuing the study in Revelation, Revelation chapter 8. Revelation chapter 8. We're going to read the first six verses of this chapter. We'll be doing a little bit of review and a little bit of survey of the remainder of the book of Revelation, and then we'll get into this seventh seal that opens up. And so, Revelation chapter 8, beginning to read with verse 1, when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. There was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints unto the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came from the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar, and cast it into the earth, and there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for your precious word. Just touch our hearts. We can't imagine, can't fathom at all when that seventh seal was broken, and what all had the opportunity to witness, and it just took their breath away. And they were silent for a half an hour as they thought, witnessed, and pondered what they were looking at. What a horrible, terrible time it's going to be here on earth, and to silence heaven for a half an hour. Father, please just guide and lead us through this. Please awaken anyone that has to this point refused the gospel. They have not responded to your call. I pray today that it be the day that they listen to that call, listen to that knock on their heart's door, and that they'll come trust in you by faith. So please today, just alert all of our ears and that we hear and that our hearts that will listen. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. This pause, this, as some many call it, parenthesis between the sixth seal and the seventh seal. You'll find that we'll do the same thing between the sixth trumpet and the seventh trumpet, between the sixth vial and the seventh vial. Each time that this time comes, it's a time of sharing a little more information. You know, we put something into parenthesis. Why the purpose is to help us to understand, to help us see what's going on. And we have that in the seventh chapter, after the sixth seal, before the seventh seal, there's a parenthesis, and it's quite a large parenthesis because it shows us many things that are going on. It shows us the 144,000 as they're sealed in the forehead to preach the gospel. It tells us of the multitude that are saved. And in telling us of the multitude that are saved, and I love that verse of Scripture because many believe that it is kept to just those that are of the house of David, of the of the family of the Jews, but it tells us very clearly that they are all saved many, and that's in verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. They have had the opportunity. This is tribulation saints. These are folks that are saved during the tribulation period. It is going to be an awful time, but God takes the opportunity here to give us this parenthesis and shows us this opportunity of this 144,000 to go out. There are 144,000 of Paul's, of Peter's. Some of them, one man said, it's just like having 144,000 Billy Sundays out there proclaiming the gospel. And it is directed to the Jews, but all nationalities, all tribes, all will have the opportunity of being saved, and a number that cannot be counted will be saved during the tribulation period. Do we wonder how many of the population of this world is going to remain after the rapture of the church? All through time, the church, before the church, the saved, has always just been a remnant. When it comes to the population, and even in the days of Billy Sunday, and the days prior to that, when you have great revivals and multitudes of people were getting saved, which doesn't exist today. We've got a lot of folks that's religious today, but folks aren't getting saved today. If the rapture would have taken place at that time, it still would have been a small remnant in relationship to the population of the world. Most of the world not only denies Christ, denies the existence of God, they want nothing to do with anything more than just evolution and things that they have created on their own. They see no difference between the God that the Catholics follow and the God that the Muslims follow. They see no difference between the two. And truly, they don't see a difference because they do not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior. So a multitude of people during this tribulation period, they come in after the church is raptured, those that are born again. There's no reason in this world for you to go into that tribulation period, because you need to come by faith today. You need to trust in Jesus today. It's coming by faith. This is the day of grace. This is the best time, the simplest time, the clearest time to be born again. As soon as the tribulation starts, it stops being the kingdom of grace, the gospel of grace, but it becomes the gospel of the kingdom, because the kingdom is coming. The king is coming. And so you still are saved by faith. You're still saved by grace, but the Holy Spirit is gone. The Holy Spirit will not come and indwell your heart when you get saved. The Holy Spirit comes and goes like it did in the Old Testament. Today is the most beautiful time to be born again, the most wonderful time to be born again, the easiest time to be born again. So please come by faith to the Lord Jesus and be saved, because the tribulation begins at the rapture of the church. And again, it will be a small remnant that will leave this earth. And so the basic population of all the world remains. They'll walk right into that tribulation period. And they're going to go into the times that we're talking about here. They're going to face these times. And so we have not only the 144,000 being sealed, we have the multitude being saved during that time. We praise the Lord for that. How are they saved? They're saved by the blood of the Lamb, the Scripture tells us. And who cares for them? The Lamb cares for them, the Lord Jesus Christ. And who will wipe away all their tears? The Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. These texts, these Scriptures tell us these things. But then we come from that, and we find ourselves to the 8th chapter. So this time that we put the parenthesis around the statements that we've just made, Now we've had this explanation, there's going to be a multitude saved. Now let's look to see what that multitude's going to have to go through. Yes, they're saved. And yes, they're sealed. Not the Holy Spirit doesn't come into their heart like He does today, but they are sealed without question. They'll never lose their salvation if they come by faith. But let's look to see what they're going to have to go through, what their life is going to be like. We've had six seals. Then we had this pause. Had this explanation, this furtherance that there are going to be people saved during this time. And it's going to be a number that you can't count. And then we come to the opening, the tearing of this seventh seal that sealed this scroll. It's going to be, they're going to cut that seal open and it's going to unroll. But it is so terrifying to all of heaven that it's silent. It's so awful that folks are speechless. We don't know what silence is. We're either listening to the television or listening to the radio or there's a car going by or there's something, there's noise all the time. The only thing that I can compare this silence with is in 99 when that tornado came through here. And we went for about 5 days, 6 days, seven, without electricity, without power. And the first two or three days of that, the town was closed off. There was no chainsaws running. There was nothing going on. And in the dead of night, there was no cars. There was no lights. There was not a hum from a light fixture. There was not a refrigerator running. There was no cars. There was nothing. Dead silence. You can't sleep. It's too quiet. You got to have some noise. Never had I experienced such a silence as that. And especially the first night. That first night, it was so eerie. It was so black and so dark. Silence for a half an hour. Dead silence. No rejoicing. The elders weren't bowed down praising God. The angels were not singing because what they are about to witness terrified them. Thinking anyone that would have to go through this, they couldn't imagine. They couldn't imagine. We need a flash of that to wake us up. So that we would come to Jesus, or that we would tell folks about Jesus. Silence. Something unheard of. Something never seen before. And it wasn't just the popping of that seventh seal, because in opening that seventh seal, it rolled out seven trumpets, and within that seven trumpets were seven vials. Within the seven vials, there were three woes. And in opening up that seventh seal, it took everyone from that time to the end of time. Because everything that was in that seventh seal took you to the last day. It was all there, all laid out for them to see. And even though all the heavens knew that it was just, and it was right, it still took their voice away for a half an hour. A half an hour. The seventh seal was opened. The seven trumpets prepared to sound. All the terrible judgments of those trumpets are hidden in this seventh seal. And within that as well is the seven vials of the wrath of God. There was silence. Before we get into this eighth chapter and into the down to the seventh verse where the first trump is sounded, before we do that, we're going to take a few minutes here and we're going to look at the schedule. We're going to look at the events that's to take place. We're going to back all the way up to the beginning because the number seven is so important because we have seven churches. We had seven messages given to the churches, and then the churches were gone. And so that was first. And then we find the seven seals. But before we got to the seven seals then we looked for the one that was able to open. And John cried out, there is no one that can do that. And then one came, the Lord Jesus himself. And he took this scroll, this seventh seal, the work of redemption, the terms of redemption for the earth. And Jesus took it from God the Father. He says, here, I can do it. I can open it up. And then we have the seven seals, and then beyond that, then we have the seven trumpets. From chapter 12 and 13, we have some what they call personages. We have the sun-clothed woman. We have the dragon, the old serpent, the devil. We have the man-child, which is Christ. We have the archangel, which is Michael. We have the Jewish remnant. We have the beast out of the sea. We have the beast out of the earth. And as the sounding of these trumpets come, it brings us to the 11th chapter, verse 18. And then from then on, it is a repeat, a duplication of some things for us to understand. So, we have again, before the seven seals, before the seven trumpets, each time before that seventh time comes, there was this parenthesis, and you'll find that each time to help us to explain it. We stop and just have this additional information, something that adds to the story, adds to what we need to know. We come down to the 15th and 16th chapter. We have the seven vials filled with the wrath of God. This is poured out upon the inhabitants of the earth. In chapter 17 through 20, we have seven dooms. The doom of the ecclesiastical Babylon, the doom of commercial Babylon, the doom of the beast and the false prophet, the doom of the Antichrist and his nation, the doom of Gog and Magog, the doom of Satan, and the doom of the wicked dead. And then chapter 21 and chapter 22, we have new heaven, and we have a new earth, we have the pearly white gates of the city. We have new nations, new rivers, the new tree of life, and the new throne. And according to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, all is forever. That's what's to come. Number 7 is God's number. In the Bible, number 7 is the number of perfection. And so we now are back to the seven seals, and beginning the seven trumpets. We're back to the half hour of silence. Again, can you imagine all of heaven seeing something so terrifying that it stops their desire to sing to the Lord? Because they see this awful thing that's coming. We need to pray for those. Pray for those that choose salvation during the tribulation period because of what they're going to have to face and go through. You see, if you reject the Lord Jesus Christ, if you reject that free gift of salvation, you can expect nothing but the wrath of God. But for those that chose, either had not heard or whatever the cause or case might be, that they didn't trust in Jesus before the tribulation, and they did trust in Him, we need to pray for those. Because they are going to see such a horrible time. Many, many are going to be put to death. And put to death in a most gruesome, awful way. Verse 2 of chapter 8. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and them were given seven trumpets. So the seal was broken, the seventh seal was broken. Silence for a half hour, and there were seven angels came forward, and they were given seven trumpets. And each one of those trumpets, as they sounded, the wrath of God would be poured out. So that's the place we're at, right here in verse 2. But then something else takes place. And that is verse 3, another angel. Another angel came. Now, the seven angels that had come forth to blow the trumpets, it will be much like when God told Moses, I'm sorry, a generation later, Joshua, to go around the city of Jericho. Told him how many times. It was eight times, wasn't it? Seven times. How many times were they supposed to blow the trumpet? Seven times. What happened after the seventh day? After the seventh blowing of the trumpet on the seventh day, the walls came tumbling down. We've got seven trumpets. Step by step, the world, the earth as we know it, is going to come crumbling down. And by the time we get to that seventh trumpet, there will be nothing left. By the time we get to the seventh trumpet. Seven angels begin, was given seven trumpets. God uses trumpets to call for war upon the enemies. Trumpets are used to call the soldiers to war. Trumpets are used to call the people to worship, to a holy convocation. The trumpets were used. The trumpets were used for feasts and festivals, for the year of Jubilee and the Feast of the Tabernacle. And it's also used for the sounding of judgment. First, the gospel came to the Jews. The Jews' responsibility was to take out the word of God, the gospel, that folks would hear it and be saved. They didn't do their job. They became all kind of within themselves and they added all kinds of rules and laws and traditions. And it became a religion, not a relationship. So God set Israel aside. And he handed that responsibility to the Gentiles, the church age, to you and me. He gave us that responsibility. And now for 2,000 years, it's been our responsibility to take out the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection to this lost and dying world. We too have failed. It has become the apostate church. And all those around that have neglected to preach the gospel. And it's become, religion is growing. And so is the apostate church. And when the apostate church gets to a certain size, and we talk about when the last soul is saved, the rapture will take place. But all in the same time as the apostate church, the fake church, the church that preaches lies, and they're everywhere. They've stopped preaching the gospel. Whenever that comes to its full size, and the last individual is saved, the trump's going to sound and the church will be raptured. And then it goes back to Israel's time. The Jews then, during the tribulation period, now it's their opportunity again. Now it's their responsibility again. And we have the 144,000 that's going forward. So that's the time schedule as we look at this. And so for us to recognize that it has come back during the tribulation period, it has been returned now to Israel. Angels received the trumpets, took their position as directed, and they prepared to sound. But before the sounding of the trumpets, John saw another angel. And this is a very important angel. We have the seven angels with the trumpets, but you're never going to find an angel that ministers in the sanctuary. I don't have any question that this angel is none other than the Lord Jesus. Let's look at what goes on here, beginning to read with verse 3. Another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. We pray in Jesus' name. All of our prayers go to him. Now he's lifting all the prayers up of all those that are underneath that altar. All those that have been martyred. He's lifting all those prayers up for those that are hiding themselves because they refused to take the mark of the beast and they chose to trust in Jesus as their Savior. So they're hunted down like animals. He's taking all those prayers, all those tribulation saints' prayers, and he's lifting them up to the Father. Just finish reading this. Should offer it up as prayers for all the saints of the golden altar, which was before the throne. Verse 4. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And I believe that angel to be Jesus. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire at the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunders and lightnings and earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to a sound. Now, we had a half hour silence. All this was opened up to them. Remember what the saints under the altar said? How long? These prayers come up to the Father through the Son. From the prayers going up to judgment coming down. for those that have rejected. And that's right where we're at. Prayers sent up, judgment sent down. And we'll begin with that seventh verse, because the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And the first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt, and all the grass was burnt up. The prayers lifted up. God says, I hear you. Judgment's coming down. That's where we're at. We'll begin there next week. Let's close in prayer. Father, why? Why anyone would choose this course? Why anyone would make a joke of what's to come, laugh about it, not be serious about it, reject that calling of the Holy Spirit right now? Please. Dear Father, I just ask that you'll touch every heart. We don't want anyone to face that time. Folks we know, folks we love, folks we talk to, have they been tricked and deceived because we've kept our mouths closed? Do we not want to stir up any trouble within the family, so we've been quiet? Don't want to cause any trouble. This is trouble. Father, give us the strength and the words, and let us go forth proclaiming your precious word. Touch every heart today, please, whatever the need is. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.